Samuel chapter 19, verses 31 through verse number 39. In our continual series on the people of the Bible, today we're going to take a look at a man by the name of Barzillai. Barzillai was at least 80 years of age. As we look at this passage, we don't believe it to be his birthday when he speaks about being 80, so he's 80 plus. Let's just say that. And as we get acquainted with Barzillai this morning, we'll see that his life is ending and he has a very important matter that's on his heart. You see, Barzillai wants to prepare for his impending death. And by the way, guess what? That should be in all of our minds, what's going to happen after we leave this earth, where we're going to spend eternity. And he knows it's not going to be very long before he dies. Too many people today live as if this life is all that there is. But this life on this earth is only just a small part of our eternal existence. As a matter of fact, James says in the fourth chapter in the 14th verse, he says, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life is even but a vapor that appeareth for a while and then vanish away." The truth of the matter is this, that death and eternity will follow after we take our last breath here on this earth. And then the Bible says in Hebrews 9 and verse 27, "As it is appointed unto man once to die, after that the judgment." Every day and every second that you and I live, we're getting closer to that hour of death that God has appointed for me and for you as well. And then we'll enter into our eternal existence. So the question that you need to be asking ourselves is simply this: where am I going to spend eternity? It's either going to be in the place that's prepared by God for us in heaven, or the place prepared for the devil and his angels and all those that reject Jesus Christ, and that place called hell. So let's get better acquainted with Barzillai, an old man going home to die. Let's stand, if you found your place, as we read God's word. 2 Samuel 19, verses 31 through 39. If you could just give me a little bit more monitor, please, I'd appreciate that so very much. 2 Samuel 19, verses 31 through verse number 39. "And Barzillai, the Gileadite, came down from Rogalim and went over Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan. Now Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old, and he had provided the king sustenance when he lay at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man." Those words, "very great man," mean he was a rich man. "And the king said unto Barzillai, come thou over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem. And Barzillai said unto the king, how long have I to live that I should go up with the king into Jerusalem? I am this day 80 years old, and can I discern between good and evil? Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto the Lord the king? And the servant will go a little way over Jordan with the king, and why should the king recompense it me with such a reward? Let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I may die in mine own city, and be buried by the grave of my father and of my mother. But behold, thy servant Chinham, let him go over with the Lord the king, and do to him which seemeth good unto thee. And the king answered, Chinham shall go over with me, and I will do to him that which seemeth good unto thee. And whatsoever thou shalt require of me, that will I do for thee. And the people went over Jordan, and when the king was come over, they kissed Barzillai and blessed him, and he returned unto his own place." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow our heart and our head before you this morning. Oh, Father, I do pray now and ask that you would help us as we look at this person of the Bible, Barzillai, an old man that wanted to go home and die. Father, I pray we'll learn from Barzillai's life, Father. We'll glean from what he did what's right, Father. And I pray, Lord, that you'll speak to the hearts of men and women and boys and girls that are gathered here this morning. Father, it would be this pastor's desire if there be someone, perhaps, Father, that is closer to death than someone else, Father, that and you have spoken to their heart about their need to be saved, that this might be the morning that they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and get this matter settled. Father, we pray for the Christian as well. Help us to understand, Father, that at some point in our walk on this earth, that you're going to determine that our days are over. And Father, it's going to be too late to do any good works for you after our death. And Father, what we have sent on ahead of us are already going to be there. So Father, I pray you might motivate us to work for you. Lord, we pray for the junior churches going on and the nursery workers. Father, bless them. We thank you for them, Father. And I pray, Lord, you'll give them some fruit for their labors as well this day. Father, we do pray as well for Brother Mendoza. Father, I pray for his back and the sciatic nerve. We pray for Diane and Scott's granddaughter in the hospital this very moment, Father, experiencing seizures. Lord, we pray you'll give the doctors wisdom as they treat that little girl, Father, and be a help to her. Bring her out again. Raise her up back to what she was before she went in. So, Lord, we love you and we thank you and seek your perfect will today, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. As we look here this morning, I want you to notice, first of all, the celebration of the longevity of life. The celebration of the longevity of life. Look at verse number 32. The Bible says, "Now Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old." This verse tells us that Barzillai was a very aged man. As a matter of fact, if you were to look at that, you would have found out that the Bible said he was 80. A score is 20 years, so 4 times 20. Last time I went to school without new math was 80. I hope it's still 80. I hope they don't change it on me, amen, without telling me. But he was 80 years old, at least 80 years old. You might have known this, but the Jewish people thought of old age as in stages. And amen, glory to God, I like that, amen. Just because you're old doesn't mean you're old, in other words. As a matter of fact, these stages are defined by expressions that are found in the Bible. The first expression is from the ages of 60 to 70. And when it's spoken of as the commencement of old age, amen. Maybe some of you are at the commencement of old age. The second one was between 70 and 80, and this was called the hoary head age. And hoary meaning gray or white. And so, listen, I might have gray or might have migrated to white, but I'm not 70 or 80 yet, amen. I think I am when I bend over and have to stand back up again, but I'm not quite there yet. I'm not even in this stage whatsoever. But then there was the last stage, and that was for someone who was at least 80 years until the end of their life, and it was called the advanced age, and or the very aged. And matter of fact, those reaching this particular stage of life are often described as being well stricken in years. That word stricken, according to Webster's 1828 dictionary, means advanced. It means worn. It means far gone. In Genesis 18:11, we find an example of this. The Bible says, "Now Abraham and Sarah were old," and gets these next words, "were well stricken in age." You remember that Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90 when they gave birth to Isaac. Genesis 24:1 says, "And Abraham was old and well stricken in age." I guess God wanted us to understand this fact that he was old and well stricken in his age. In 1 Kings chapter 1 and verse 1, we find this verse about King David. Now, King David was old, and guess what? Well stricken in years. So if you hear someone say, "I am well stricken in years," that means they're at least 80 years old. And the Jewish timetable of life, we find that Barzillai had reached a milestone. Barzillai's life had been a faithful life and had been a fruitful one. He didn't live his life in vain, as most people do today. His life had been profitable and productive, not only for himself, but for the king and God himself. So let's take a look at this life that Barzillai lived. Notice, first of all, that he lived, get this now, a helpful life. Notice in verse 32, we see that he had provided the king's sustenance while he lay at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. This verse relates back to the days when King David was fleeing from his son Absalom. Remember, Absalom usurped the throne of David and determined to kill him, and King David had to leave the great city and the palace where he was, and his son was chasing after him. And David's hour of need, Barzillai, helped him out. We don't have time to turn there, but you can find this story in 2 Samuel 17, verses 27 through verse number 29. And in verse 29, we'll tell you how desperate David and his men were. The Bible says they were hungry, they were weary, they were thirsty, and get this, in the wilderness in verse number 29. But Barzillai came to the rescue. He opened up his heart. Not only did he open up his heart, but he had an open hand or a desire to be a blessing to those that had a need in their life. You see, the life of Barzillai could be described by this little poem I came across. It goes something like this. Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayers shall be for others. Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be. Help me to live for others that I may live like thee. You see, the problem we have in America today and in churches all across America is that too many people live their lives only for themselves, and they're totally immune to the needs of other people. The Bible tells us in 1 John, beginning in chapter 3 and verse 17, but whosoever hath the world's good and seeth his brothers have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? So it might just be that someone who professes Jesus Christ as their personal Savior but lacks the compassion for those that have true needs could possibly, maybe, are not even saved. You see, well, how can you say that, Pastor Dave? Well, the verse is clear in verse 17. How dwelleth the love of God in him? When the love of God dwells inside of us, that's me and that's you, it manifests itself by the love of other people. Since Christ reached out to us in our need, we ought to reach out to others in their need as well. You say, well, that's not me. Well, I'm sorry if it's not you. It ought to be you. We find that Barzillai reached out when King David had a need. Jesus Christ reached out when you and I had a need of to be saved, to have our sins taken away, and to be have covered by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ reached out. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. He said, I will give you rest. Let me illustrate it to you this way. This little story is entitled The Beggar's Bowl. A king used to travel in disguise to learn for himself the conditions not only of his kingdom, but also of his countrymen. He was also accompanied by his personal guard, and his personal guard also was in a disguise. And they were traveling along the side of the road one day. They met three beggars sitting beside on the side of a busy street. So seeing the two strangers, the beggars raised their bowls and began to beg for alms. And that was a normal thing that beggars would do. But to see, the king wanted to test them. And he extended his hand back to them and he said this, we are poor, we are hungry, and we're in a miserable state. Kindly give us something to sustain our life. Well, one of the beggars didn't even respond to the request of the king. As a matter of fact, he got up and he moved on. He went in search of someone who could help him instead of him being a blessing to someone else. The second beggar reached into his bowl and got a handful of rice from his bowl and put it into the king's bowl. But the third beggar felt pity and he offered his large bowl with the complete context of all they had received that day. There was all kinds of grains and rice and coins he collected that day, and he offered all that to the king. The king received those two gifts and sent his guard to the treasurer of the palace with a written order to weigh the gifts and send through that guard gold coins weighing as much as those two gifts that were given to him. So the guard returned with those coins, and he very happily presented that to the second and third beggars. The first beggar came along as he was handing out these gold coins, and he was very sorry for refusing that gift to the king. The second beggar was sorry that he limited his gift. But notice the third beggar, he was overjoyed and received a very unexpected treasure to help sustain his life. And then the king appointed that kind and compassionate beggar, that last beggar who gave his all, and he became the king's personal assistant. You see, we find that Barzillai lived a helpful life. Let me ask you this question. Would somebody say that about you? Would they say this about you, that you lived a helpful life, that you are compassionate when people have need? I know if anything that God works on my heart about is this area of being more compassionate to whom people that we see that we believe they have a need. See, our problem is today is that too many people today have taken advantage of good-hearted people, whether they're Christians or non-Christians. And so we become cold and become callous, and we have to be careful about that. And the truth of the matter is, if you want something from the Carroll household, you better knock on my wife's door, amen. You better come up to her window, because I'm not, that's not coming out my window. But she still has compassion, and she says, David, she said, We don't know what they're going to do with this money. We don't know if they're going to buy drugs. We don't know if they really have a job or they're really a vet or whatever sad story they have. But God does know. And if we do our small little part to be a help and a blessing to them, and maybe take just a dollar or maybe a pack of crackers or whatever we have with along with the track and hand it out the window to them, show more compassion. And you and I need to do that. We need to have that same kind of compassion and be helpful as Barzillai did. But notice something else. Not only did Barzillai live a helpful life, but notice something else we find in verse number 33, he lived a humble life. You see, in our text, we find that King David wanted to honor Barzillai. After David went back to the throne again, he remembered those that helped him in his great hour of need. And let me say you again, my friends, when you're down and out and somebody helps you and God blesses you and raises you back up to where you were before or to a new height and a new level, please don't forget those people that were a blessing to you along the way. We read in verse number 33, and the king said unto Barzillai, come thou over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem. I want you to understand something here, that King David is not saying, hey, I'm getting ready to throw down at the palace. Why don't you come? We're going to have a big feast. It was even more than that. David is telling him, making Barzillai an offer, and he says, listen, I appreciate so much what you did for me in the wilderness. I want you to come and live in the palace with me. I want you to come. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to meet your every need. But Barzillai turned down that kind of invitation and asked if David would honor his son instead. Now listen, he's not only had a helpful life, but he has a humble life as well. I wonder how many of us would say if we get this offer, well, you know what, I want to offer you to come live in my palatial estate. You'll not have a want for anything. You'll not need any money. You'll not need any food. I'll take care of your clothes. I'll take care of all your medical expenses. I'll give you a stipend for you to live, give you a nice car. Man, you have everything taken care of. I wonder how many of us would say, oh, I appreciate that, but just wait just a moment. Would you let my son go in my place? You know, I don't know how much we love our sons and we love our daughters, but how many of us would be willing to do something like that? But Barzillai turned down that invitation. And notice, we read in verse 37, but behold, thy servant Chinham, let him go over with my lord the king, and do to him what seemeth good unto thee. So in a very humble way, we find Barzillai saying this, thank you, your majesty. Thank you, King David. I'm honored that you would offer for me to come live in the palace. But if it wouldn't offend you, King David, why don't you let thy servant Chimham come in my place? Barzillai was always thinking of others. He was always putting himself before others. That's what he did in the wilderness. Even though he had excess and he was rich, you know, he could have kept all that. And David and all his men that were there, there was a lot of men that was there with King David. And so we find that he was always thinking about others, always putting others first. His life was not only marked by helpfulness, but was marked by humbleness. I like what Solomon said in Proverbs 20 and verse number 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. And how true is that, amen? Most people today, they're willing to talk about themselves and what they've done and what they've accomplished. But notice what the Bible says, but a faithful man who can find. People are always trying to impress other people. They're always doing that. And I found out those that are always bragging on who they are and what they have accomplished and what they have done usually have the least to really brag about when they get down to it. In most cases, what they're bragging about is something that's exaggerated. And if you were to go back in the portals of history and look, it wasn't even close to what the person is bragging about. And most of the time, it's just a downright flat-out lie. There's an old Filipino saying that goes something like this. The higher the bamboo grows, the lower it bends. You see, those who are truly blessed of the Lord and have something to brag about are usually the ones who will bend the lowest in humility because they understood and know where their blessings really came from. Their blessings have gone to their heart instead of their head. And I'm afraid today, even in our independent fundamental Baptist movement, too many people have been blessed by God, have allowed that blessing to go to their head instead of their heart. Someone has said this, a man who is flattering himself that he is humble and thinks he is walking close to the master is self-deceived. Boy, you be cautious about thinking about yourself as being a humble person. You know, a true definition of humility is not thinking of ourselves in lower terms. True humility is not thinking of ourselves at all. And that's what Barzillai did. He didn't think of himself in lowly terms. He said, God, would you bless my son Chinham to King David? And he wasn't thinking about himself. He was thinking about someone else. And his humility speaks of itself. It's not genuine humility. Understand that you cannot be humble and speak of yourself as being a humble person. I think of a story of a preacher who wrote a book that was entitled The 10 Most Humble People and How I Met the Other Nine. Amen. That's not a very humble person. I think he has a lot to learn about humility and humbleness. Humility, real humility, never thinks about self. It's always focused on other people. It's always focused on others, just like Barzillai. His humility wasn't focused on himself. He was always thinking about others. You see, Barzillai had more than just his 80th year of life to celebrate that day. He lived a life that was worth celebrating. As we look back at the years that have gone behind us, whether it's 80 or 70, 60, 50, 20, 10, whatever it might be, let me ask you this question. Do you find in your life, as you look back at the years that have gone, that you've been faithful and you've been fruitful to the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you see a life that has been marked by helpfulness and humbleness? Proverbs 16:31 says, the hoary, in other words, gray or white head, is a crown of glory. It is to be found in the way of righteousness. Psalm 91:16 says, with long life I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Proverbs 3:2 says, for the length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Well, not only do we see that Barzillai has a celebration of the longevity of life, but then notice something else. Notice the contemplation of the brevity of life. The contemplation of the brevity of life. You see, that word brevity is defined as briefness. It's defined as shortness. It's defined as shortness of time. You see, Barzillai had not only in his mind just how long that he lived 80 years, but also he understood this, how much little time that he had left here on this earth. He was thankful for the many years that God had already given him, but he was also thinking about the days that were still yet before him. He's not only thinking about how he had lived, but how, get this now, he must die. I noticed something about Barzillai. He was aware of two different things. The first thing that Barzillai was aware of was something that we ought to be aware of as well, and that is simply this, that death is certain. Notice in verse number 34, and Barzillai said unto the king, how long have I to live that I should go up with the king unto Jerusalem? See, Barzillai asked King David the question, how long have I to live? And there's no doubt he didn't expect, it was a rhetorical question. He didn't expect King David to give him that answer. He's basically saying, I don't know how much time I have. I don't know how much time I have left, King David, because Barzillai is well aware of his age, and he knows that his death was imminent. It was going to come at any moment. He knows that his life is now measured in days, not months, not even years. He doesn't know how long that he has left to live, but he knows it's not long to live. You might put it this way, that he knew that he was going to die was certain, but when he was going to die was uncertain. You know, Psalm 90 in verse number 10 says this, the days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Someone had said that the only certain thing about death is its uncertainty. You see, a man on death row may not know the day, the hour, or the minute that he is going to die, but most of us, along with someone on death row, live with an uncertainty. We know we're going to die. We just don't know the exact hour, minute, or day we're going to die. We don't have the luxury of knowing when we are going to die. We know we are going to die, but we don't know when we are going to die. B.R. Lakin, a great A pastor and preacher of yesteryear used to joke and say this. He said, if I knew where I was going to die, he said, I'd never go there, amen. Praise the Lord. Maybe you said, I'd go there tomorrow, amen. I know I'm on my way to heaven, amen. It's like the guy who told me one time, he said, Pastor, he said, I know I'm saved and I'm born again. He said, I'm ready to go to heaven, just not on this busload, amen. That's what this man is saying. B.R. Lakin said, listen, I'm ready to go to heaven, just not on this busload. The truth is, we don't know where we'll die or when we'll die, but we do know this, we all are going to die. I once read an article about the famous liar's paradox that was prophesied over 2,500 years ago. And the liar's paradox is really a simple question. And the question goes something like this. If a man says, this sentence is a lie, is it? It's been said of Philetus of Cos killed himself after, with much despair in his heart, after years and years of trying to solve that question. Someone may say yes, someone may say no, but in either case, there's points that can be argued for yes and for no. And you can argue the point, and we're still, there's no definite answer. The sentence is a lie, is it? Boy, when you think about that, boy, what a question that is. So let me ask you this question. How long do you have to live? How long do you have to live? Here's the truth. The answer is uncertain. You may say, well, I'm going to live to be 80-some years old. I don't know. I don't know how long you're going to live. I don't know how long I'm going to live. I know the Social Security Administration tells me I'm going to live to 83.4 years, amen. And I say, well, my life insurance runs out at 80 years, so that's not going to do me any good. So what are we going to do about this thing? You know, the truth of the matter is we don't know how long that we have, that we can live. We cannot answer that question with certainty, for the truth is none of us really know how long we are going to live. Barzillai was aware that not only is death uncertain, but also notice something else, that death is undeniable. Notice what Barzillai said to David in verse 35. I am this day 80 years old, and can I discern between good and evil? Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Wherefore then shall thy servant be a burden unto the Lord, the king? Think about it this way, with this illustration. When John Quincy Adams was an old man, someone asked him how he was doing. And back in those days, they would put it this way, how are you keeping? And he replied to this person that would ask how he was doing, thank you. John Quincy Adams is very well himself, sir, but the house in which he lives in is falling to pieces. Times and seasons have nearly destroyed it. The roof is well worn. The walls are shattered. It trembles at every gale. I think John Quincy Adams will soon have to move out, but he himself is very well, sir. Boy, you think about that, and we could apply that to our own life as well. Of course, he was speaking about the house to the body. In similar fashion, we find that Barzillai said to King David, the house in which I live in, he said, is falling to pieces. I can't think like I used to think. My mind is not as sharp as it used to be. I can't taste. I can't hear like I used to. This house I've lived in for 80 years, he said, is just simply falling apart. What Barzillai was really telling King David was something like this. There's no question that I'm going to die because my body is telling me that I am dying. You see, Barzillai was saying that he didn't know when he would die, but he did know he was going to die. And death may be uncertain, but it's also undeniable. George Bernard Shaw, a famous playwright, was absolutely correct when he said this. The statistics of death are very quite impressive. One out of one people die, amen? Boy, how truth is that? A Greek proverb says, but to learn that to die is a debt that we must all pay. Take your Bibles and turn to Ecclesiastes. It's not going to be up on the screen for you. Ecclesiastes chapter number 12. I think Solomon knew something about the certainty of death, that death is undeniable as well. Notice what it says in Ecclesiastes 12, beginning in verse number 1. Remember now the Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when they shall say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In other words, in verse 2, he's simply saying this. He said, you need to make hay when the sun is shining, amen. Back when I was in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, my friend Joe, a treasurer and a deacon of our church, he had a little farmette kind of thing. And listen, sometimes he would say, Pastor, I'm sorry, I won't be able to make the meeting. He'd tell my pastor, I won't be able to make the meeting tonight. I got to make hay while the sun is shining. In other words, he's saying, when the hay is dry and the sun is shining, I got to take care of what I need to do. But then notice in verse number 3, the Bible says, in the days when the keepers of the house shall tremble. And this passage, the keeper of the house, referring to your arms. And the strong men shall bow themselves, speaking about your legs. And the grinders shall cease because they are few, talking about your teeth. And then it goes on to say, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the street. Again, it's referring to speech. It's referring to those that do not have any teeth. You notice it's very hard for a person to speak without certain teeth. And then it goes on to say, in the second part of verse number 4, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird. In other words, as you get older, guess what? It's not as easy to sleep in till 10, 11, 12, 1 o'clock. And when the birds are up, you're up. And when the birds go to bed, you go to bed. And the Bible is just correct about that thing. And then it says, and the daughters of the music shall be brought low. In other words, you get so old, up in age, and you can't hear very well. And then shall be afraid of that which is high. You have a fear of height. And to get older, guess what? We used to climb up 4 stories on a ladder with one leg hopping up the whole way. And now you won't go up with your wife's leg. You just get a fear of heights as we get older. God's word, again, is correct. And then it says, and fears shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be burdened. Again, speaking about the almond tree, speaking about your hair, and then the grasshopper shall be a burden. Again, that speaks about this. I still think that I used to be able to lift things that I could lift as a 30-year-old man. And somebody says, can you get that? Oh, yeah, I got it. And I go to lift it up and go, no, I don't got it. And grasshoppers are real light. And it's speaking about even lifting a grasshopper is going to be a burden as we get older and older. Speaking about death is uncertain and death is undeniable. Let's go on. And it says, because man goeth to his long home and the mourners go to the street. Oh, it says, and desire shall fail thee. Now, in the context, I believe it's talking about sexual desire, but also any other kind of desires. I found this out when I was 20-some and I was in my prime and before I was married, boy, I would get up every day, take about 3-4 showers every day, fix my hair up, do whatever I needed to do, and look sharp all the time. But you know what? Now that I'm going towards my long home, you know, I get up in the morning and say, well, my hair don't look too bad. I'll take a shower tonight, you know. The desires are leaving me. I don't have a desire to always, let's go, let's run. I just want us to stay home. Can we stay home? You know, the desires begin to leave for thee. And then it goes on to say, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go to the street. That long home, you know what it is? I hope it's heaven. If you're saved today and born again, you'll go to heaven. But if not, it's that terrible place called hell. Or ever the silver cord be loose, speaking about your brain, the golden bowl be broken, the pitcher be broken at the fountain, and the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Listen, the truth of the matter is Basile understood that death is undeniable. Well, now, not only do we see the celebration of the longevity of life, not only do we see the contemplation of the brevity of life, but notice lastly with me this morning, the communication of the priority, the communication of the priority of life. You see, Basile turned down the king's invitation because there was something more important that he had to do. The priority of his life was that he had to go home and get ready to die. It was such a priority that he spoke to King David about it. Let's notice what was so important to Barzillai. First of all, notice as he spoke to King David, he spoke about a return to his earthly home. Notice in verse 37, the Bible says, "Let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I may die in mine own city and be buried by the grave of my father and of my mother." Basically, he just said this. He said, "Listen, I can't go. But if it be okay, would you let Chinham, my son, come be with you?" He said, "All I want to do is I just want to go home and die at the home of my patriarchal home." He knows that death could come any day and that he didn't want to die away from home. And it seems like, according to verse 37, there probably was some little family cemetery plot somewhere that had his name on it. And then he wanted to be buried there with his mother and his father. He didn't want to die in a city that he could not call home. He didn't want to be buried in a cemetery that wasn't where his family wanted to be. He just wanted to go home, and he just wanted to die. And some of you can identify with that. When you step off into eternity, you've already made plans, and you told your loved ones and your family, "Listen," he said, "I don't want to be buried in Hampton. You take me back to West Virginia. You take me back to where home is. You take me back to Pennsylvania. You ship me back to Florida. I don't care what the cost is, but please do not bury me in Virginia." I told my wife this. I said, "You bury me out in the ditch behind the house if the city will let you do it. Whatever's the cheapest way to do it. I'm not really there anyhow, amen." But I do understand wanting to be back to where your home, where you came from, amen. Even more important than returning to his earthly home, we find that Barzillai speaks about one more thing, and that is a readiness for his eternal home. You know, it's obvious that Barzillai wanted to go home so he could get ready to go home, amen. You get that? He wanted to go home so he could get ready to go home. Notice in verse 38 and 39. "And the king answered, Chimham shall go over with me, and I will do to him that which shall seem good unto thee. And whatsoever thou shalt require of me, that will I do. And all the people went over Jordan. And when the king was come over, they kissed Barzillai and blessed him, and he returned unto his own place." He certainly knew that his earthly life was just about over, and a new life was about ready to begin. And he was excited about going to his earthly home, but he was more excited about going to his eternal home with God the Father. He is no longer thinking about his life on earth, and he's beginning to think about a life of eternity with God the Father. 2 Corinthians 5:1 says this, "For we know that if our earthly house or this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Peter puts it this way in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. "Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing shortly that I must put off my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me." And then in Philippians chapter 1, verses 23, Paul says, "For I am in a strait betwixt the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." Boy, I think Barzillai could have written Philippians 1 in verse number 23. He said, "I want to go back home. I want to be buried at my physical home with mother and father." But he said, "I'm more concerned about my eternal home." I want to ask you a very important question this morning. Are you ready to die? Are you prepared for eternity? Have you prepared for eternity just like Barzillai did? At some point, Barzillai put his faith and trust in Jehovah God, knowing that he was the only way that he could be able to spend an eternity with him up in heaven. You know, someday we're all going to have to give an account of what we did with what God has given us. First of all, with the salvation that was provided for us by Jesus Christ. You see, God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You see, it was God's desire that all of us would come into a renewed relationship with him after the sin of Adam and Eve in the garden. And he knew that only one person could restore that relationship, and that was the God-man, Jesus Christ. He was fully God, yet fully man. He was born of the Virgin Mary, lived 33 and a half years, and then voluntarily went to the cross of Calvary. Understand this one point this morning, that they did not kill Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. He willingly gave up his life on the cross, and he suffered and bled and died for you and I. He took our death, he took our hell, that we might be free from this, from the damnation of sin in our life, if we'll accept the free pardon of his sin by faith in Jesus Christ. Well, he did that so we have salvation. But then notice something else: we all have to give an account of what we did according to salvation. But also, how about this for those who are saved and living a sanctified life? And by sanctified life, I mean living a holy life. I mean pointing others to Jesus Christ. Living a life that when Christ and God the Father look down on us, they could say, I'm well pleased with the way that they're living down there on this earth. All of us need to prepare right now for the eventual physical death. I'm reminded of what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse number 1. Remember now the Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Have you prepared spiritually to die? Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you, Father, for this message on Barzillai. Father, I'm thankful that we can look to him and his life and know, Father, that you did have blessed him, and he took the blessings you have given him, and he blessed the king of the nation of Israel. Oh, Father, he fed his men when they were weary and tired and hungry and thirsty when they were in the wilderness that day. And then, Father, because of that, David wanted to repay that kindness, but because of the humbleness of Barzillai, because of the age of your great servant, he said, no, but would you bless my son, Chimham? So, Father, I pray that we would learn life's lessons from this great man. Oh, Father, we would learn to live a humble life and live in humility all the days of our life. And, Father, we would learn to be helpful to people who have greater needs than ourselves. And then, Father, we pray that you would speak to the heart of that one that could be here today that does not know Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. Oh, Father, and they might have prepared physically for their death. Lord, they have the will. They have everything paid. The coffin's picked out. The little papers are already wrote up. The obituary's written. All they have to do, Father, is just die and it'll be done. But Father, I pray that they have made physical preparation but not spiritual preparation. So Father, I pray for that one who's lost here today, whose heart you are speaking to right now, have spoken to in the past about their need to be saved, to put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that they could go home, Father, as Barzillai did, and Father, have assurance that if they were to die, they'd be in heaven in the presence of Jesus Christ. So Father, save that one that's lost today. Speak to their heart. May they be saved. Challenge the Christian as only you can do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Let's stand to our feet.